Let us pray. Lord God, help us to understand the wonder of your coming and the hope of your presence with us. Even in the midst of hard circumstances and trouble, help us to focus on our hope and trust in your work in our lives and the world. In the name of your precious Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. I love watching that video around Christmas time. I mean, when I was preparing for this sermon, I must have watched it four or five times, and it just never failed to put a smile on my face. And I think kind of why it puts a smile on a face and puts a smile on our faces is that it takes a measure of childlike wonder to get Christmas. You know, Christmas without childlike wonder is just nothing. So it takes a measure of wonder and of amazement to kind of get what happened 2,000 years ago. If not, this is just another day, and there's nothing special about this time of year. And as we come to this time of year as well, it's important for us to have a sense of childlike wonder, because really, we celebrate that because of Christmas, hope is alive today. We celebrate that God intervened and sent his only begotten Son so that the world would not be condemned but saved. We celebrate that all things are new because of Christmas. God has come and saved his people. A new day has dawned and everything has changed, past, present, and future. Everything has changed through Jesus Christ, and we celebrate the newness of life through this new baby that was born 2,000 years ago that was called Emmanuel, God with us. So it's an amazing time that sometimes children get that kind of wonder. But often, we don't get that kind of wonder at Christmas time. Often, especially at Christmas, we don't feel that kind of change. Even though everything is new because of Christmas, it doesn't feel new to us. We go by Christmas every year and still we have financial problems. Still, some of us lose jobs. Still, some of us are very depressed this time of year and very lonely. Some of us are longing for relationship or longing for connection in our life and just not finding it. Some of us are struggling with sickness. Some of us are really extremely anxious or worried. And so even though because of Christmas, everything has changed and life is new, the world is new, often we don't feel that kind of newness in our life. Yet it's still our call to kind of regain some of the wonder of Christmas and to carry that all year long and to live in this tension between the wonder of what has happened and the world that we live now. And so to do this, especially as we kind of are in between Christmas and New Year's now, you know, we've kind of gone through the Christmas celebrations and now we're thinking about New Year's resolutions and what's going to happen next year and things like that. Now we're in this tension. Because of it, I think it's good to look at a character in the Bible who lived in this tension his whole life. And that's the person Simeon that we read about in our passage from Luke today, the old man Simeon, that lived in this tension between the promise that he was given and the completion that was promised to him. He lived his whole life in the midst of it. So as we kind of talk about what it means for us to live in that tension between the wonder of Christ coming among us and still the incompletion that we feel in our own lives and the incompletion we feel in the world, we're going to look at how Simeon understood it and how God worked in the midst of Simeon in his waiting and his longing for the promise to be fulfilled. So as we look at the life of Simeon, we see that he lived in a time of great upheaval and tension in his homeland and among his people. As you know, this was a time where Israel was taken over by the Roman Empire. This was at most likely the height of the Roman Empire's power. This was when it was turning from a republic into an empire. And it was a time of great conquest among the Roman world. And so Israel, just this small country and kind of the backwoods of the world at that time, became part of the Roman Empire and they were taken over. So one of the Roman Empire's edicts was that you could, you know, have your religion as long as you ultimately said that Caesar was God. If you said that Caesar was the Lord, then you could worship whatever you wanted. And obviously, the people who worship one God could not say that. They could not, in good faith, they would be losing their religion if they said that they worshiped this God and that God. So they couldn't. And so they're under constant persecution, constantly a thorn in the Roman Empire's side, as the Roman Empire tried to kind of include them and assimilate them into Roman culture. So this was the time that Simeon lived in. And because of this kind of upheaval in the life of the Jewish people in Israel, all these messiahs kept popping up. And we know by historical records that in Simeon's time, 3, 4, 5 messiahs had popped up. And basically, they did the same thing. They would pop up with words of miracles and signs and wonders. And they would speak against the Roman Empire, and they would also then gather a group of people to hopefully make this revolution where God's kingdom would come back on earth. But as happened with every single Messiah that came in Simeon's lifetime, they were either discredited or they were put in prison, and the hope of the Messiah was gone. So we see in Simeon's life, he was given this promise early in his life by God that God was going to bring the reconciliation of Israel, that he was going to bring the Messiah. But he lived in this tension over and over and over of seeing one Messiah come and another Messiah go and nothing really happening. And we don't know how long this had been. But we see that Simeon was a very old man, so we can have pretty good authority that he probably lived his whole life seeing this happening and waiting day upon day for this fulfillment to come in the life of Israel, but never seeing it. So we see in this story, we get this little vignette in Luke 2 of one day in Simeon's life. You know, it's a day that started like every other day in Simeon's life. He got up, he went to temple to pray. And what was different, though, at this time is that he didn't know this, but there was this other family that was going to the temple to pray as well. Jesus was probably 8 weeks old, 2 months old at this time, and they were going, as our scripture said, to do the rites at the temple that every two-month-old or eight-week-old had to have certain rites administered them. And at that period, at 8 weeks old, then the name would be bestowed upon the child. Before that, the 8 weeks before that, the child would be nameless. But at 8 weeks, the child would go to the temple and receive his name as sacrifices are given to God. So Simeon would have had no idea that this was happening. And also, in the temple, it would have been incredibly crowded. Thousands upon thousands of families would be doing this at the same exact time. Yet, it's like a light came out of heaven, and Simeon sees, out of all the thousands of other families there in the temple, this one family with Jesus. And we see in the scripture that as soon as Simeon saw the boy, he took up Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which have been prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, it's hard by just speaking it to give you an idea of the poignancy of this moment. I mean, this for 1,800 years, this moment, and especially that little saying of Simeon has been immortalized in song and in art because it's such a poignant and beautiful moment. If any of you have heard the Nunc Dimittis before by various composers, basically Nunc Dimittis is Latin for Song of Simeon. So the Nunc Dimittis is basically different composers throughout the years have taken this one little saying of Simeon and have put it to music. And I encourage you just to go, when you go home today, maybe look up Nunc Dimittis on Spotify or on YouTube and listen to a Nunc Dimittis, because you'll hear this poignancy and this beauty and this longing and also this beauty of this old man actually, after all these years, finally experiencing fulfillment. Finally, the thing that he's hoped for all of the years of his life, finally fulfilled. I think artists already also do a good job of trying to portray this. If you could put up Rembrandt's. This is Simeon with Christ Child at the temple. You can't see it very well. It doesn't do it justice on the PowerPoint at all. This is one of my favorite portrayals of Simeon. And you can almost just see his face. This old man, weathered by years, you know, lived a hard life, has seen hard things among his people, but he's holding this child. And if you look closely at the picture, you can look it up on the web later, you can just see this longing in his face and this idea of completion, that it is finished, that all that he has hoped for has finally come to pass, and finally he can die in peace. We see just in part in what you can see here in the PowerPoint, the fulfillment of the longing that Simeon experienced on that day. This longing for the consolation of Israel and the glory of Israel finally being returned, that God would do something to console his people, to bring his people back to what they were, to be a light to the Gentiles and be glory to the people of Israel. And he found that in this 8-week-old baby that he's looking at and can't help but tear up with in this painting by Rembrandt, that he's finally found his hope in this little baby. And so Simeon found the fulfillment in his arms that day. And because of that, we live in the fulfillment. You know, Simeon was a lot like Moses. He got to the edge of the promised land, but he could go no further. We don't know what happened to him after this little story in Luke. We never hear about him again, but we're sure that he must not have lived much longer. I mean, he himself is saying, now your servant can go in peace. So Simeon didn't get to see the fulfillment. He got to the edge and saw the fulfiller, Jesus Christ. But we were the ones who got to go in the promised land. We're the ones who live in the fulfillment. We got to experience what Simeon only saw in Jesus. We get to experience in the person of Jesus in our life. We experience the salvation of Christ. We experience what he did for us on the cross. We experience his love in our lives. We experience relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. Those are all of the fulfillments of the promise that we now experience as God's people. Yet so often we live like Simeon lived the day before he met Jesus. You know, so often we live like Simeon that day before, hoping for the promise, maybe living for the promise, but not having experienced the promise. You know, though we're saved from sin, we often feel like sin has control of our lives, and we feel the effects of death every day in our lives. Though we're blessed beyond comprehension, many of us still struggle and can't rest in the blessings we've been given. Though Christ has come and God is with us, at times the world feels that God is silent and that God is very, very far away. Theologians call this living in between the now and the not yet. That though Christ has come now, the fulfillment of what Christ has done has not happened yet. And so we live in this time. God has saved us from sin and evil and the devil, but the ultimate completion of that has not happened yet. So we still see the effects of evil in our world. We still see the effects of sin in our lives and other people around us. We still see the decay of death all around us in the world. We live in the now and the not yet, between the promise and the fulfillment. And so the question for us at Christmas time and really all year round is, how do we live in the midst of the now and the not yet? How do we live in the midst of the promise and the fulfillment? And we see three things in the life of Simeon that help us to live in the midst of the promise and the fulfillment. And we see firstly, then, the scripture that Simeon waited. That's how he lived in the midst of the now and the not yet. He waited. As we look through the passage, we see that Luke does not spend a lot of time telling us about Simeon's discouragements or frustrations. He doesn't tell us about his struggles through the long years, and he really doesn't even tell us about his moral fortitude or religious devotion that Simeon had to make it possible for him to withstand these long years of trusting in God but not seeing the fulfillment of what God is doing. We don't see any of that. All we see that Simeon was a righteous and upright man, which means that he did the right thing, and he was known for being a religious person. That's all we know him as. He didn't have any special power. He didn't have any special faith. He didn't have any special devotion. He was just a person who followed God. And he waited. That's what he did. That was what his task is. And that's often our task of living between the now and the not yet, is to wait. You know, and this is hard for us because we live in a culture where we don't have to wait for anything. Whether it's food, whether it's, you know, texts or Facebook or whatever, we have everything right at our fingertips. Yet we see over and over again the call of the scripture is to wait. Isaiah tells us those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The Psalms tell us, I wait on the Lord and his word do I hope. Wait on the Lord, be strong and take courage. And Simeon really is our example of waiting on the Lord. What did Simeon do day after day after he received the promise? He worshiped. He was upright. He followed God. So basically, in his waiting, what he did is he lived as if it were true. That's what he did. He lived as if the promise he was given was true. And that's our task as we wait. You know, I don't know what the promise you're hoping for is in your life. You know, for the promise for all of us is that God would come and his kingdom would be established, that we would see light winning over darkness, that we'd see good winning over evil. That's our hope for all of us. You know, and the hope in our lives is that we'd see God's spirit winning over evil and sin in our life, that we would see, you know, our ability to comprehend God's grace and live in God's grace and live out of God's grace would be greater than our selfishness and our worry and the distractions that tear us away from God. That's our hope for all of us. That's the longing for all of us and the world around us. Yet we see that longing does not come to fruition in our life. We see that we still struggle, that the world is still often a very dark and dangerous place, and it seems sometimes it's getting even worse. So in the midst of the now and the not yet, we're called to live as if it were true. We have the promise of God in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of God in Jesus Christ, that he is the light that the darkness has not been able to quench, that he is the hope in the midst of hopelessness. He is grace in the midst of hardness and works righteousness. He is our hope. And so we need to live as if it were true. That's how we wait upon God. Someday we have the hope that we might, as Simeon, see the fulfillment of the promise. We may see the darkness being turned back in some way. We might be able to say, like him, now I may be able to go in peace. And we may not be able to see that in our lives. Not everyone gets that gift. So we may not be able to see it in this life, but the next, but still we can live as if it were true. That's what we're called to do as we wait. So we see as Simeon waited, he also was led. You know, if we look at the scriptures, we see in the three passages in the very beginning that in verse 25, Luke writes that Simeon was righteous and devout and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Then in verse 26, the Spirit gives him a vision that he would not die before he sees the Lord's Messiah. And then in verse 27, Luke writes that he was in the Spirit when he entered the temple that day. Notice the thing that connects all those three? The Spirit. Luke wants to make very clear to us that Simeon was being guided by another hand. That he was not just by his own faithfulness or by his own righteousness doing the things he did, but that at every moment of his life, he had a hand pushing him, a hand guiding him, and that was the Holy Spirit. And so as we look around what it means for us to live in between the now and the not yet, we see that part of what it means to live is it means to be led. If we want to live in the midst of the now and not yet faithfully, we need to live as if we are being led. Just as Simeon lived as if he was being led, we need to believe that if we know Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is in us, the Holy Spirit is working in us, the Holy Spirit is guiding us to all righteousness and to his grace and to his purpose in the world. And this sometimes can be hard because there's a lot of voices about the Holy Spirit these days. And it can lead us to wonder, well, do I have the Holy Spirit? Do I need to do something else to get the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe I don't have enough of the Holy Spirit and I need to do these three things and then I'll have more of the Holy Spirit. But we don't see that kind of language in the scriptures, honestly. When we hear Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit, it's seen as a gift. It's given to those who believe. It's given so that you can know Jesus and that you can trust Jesus, you can have relationship with Jesus, and you can live the way of Jesus. And so we see that if you know Jesus and if you've received God's faith through grace, you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is alive in you, much more alive than you can know. And so whether you feel it or not, whether you experience it or not, whether you, you know, speak in tongues or do signs and wonders or whatever all the other people say that you must have if you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't experience any of those things, the Holy Spirit is within you because Christ is within you. And so you can trust that. You can live as if you are led. You can listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. You can trust that God is moving you. You can trust that you're not just spinning out of control in your life, but there's a hand guiding you. There's a hand moving to you. And so then our task is to respond to God's leading by listening. And we listen simply by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. There's a lot of voices that are in our minds every day. There's voices from our past. There's voices from our prejudices. There's voices from our shames and our struggles, from our families, from our culture, from our media. And they're all competing for our attention. But there's also that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. We can hear the Holy Spirit through our conscience. We can hear the Holy Spirit through the Word, the Bible, as we read it. We can hear the Holy Spirit through others sometimes, through community, through church, through worship, in many other ways, great and small. And so for us, as we're being led by the Holy Spirit, just as Simeon did, we're called to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to that small voice and to trust it as we go forward, to not just think that, oh, my life is up to chance. And whatever, you know, wherever chance leads it or wherever my own personal power leads it, then there I will go. But we trust that there's a leading hand. And more than anything, that leading hand is leading you to God, leading you to know Jesus, leading you to understand his love, leading you to rest in his grace. So Simeon waited and Simeon listened. But we also see that the culmination of that waiting and listening was really worship. Simeon worshiped. Notice him in the temple that day. What did he want more than anything else? What did Simeon want? Did Simeon come into the temple every day for years and years for money or for fame or for success or for power? No. Simeon came to worship every single day for all his life so that he might just see one day, that he might just catch a glimpse one day of God's salvation. That was his whole purpose for his whole life, is just so that maybe one day God would gift him the ability to see God's salvation. And that was his longing. That was his hope that brought him to worship every day. You know, when we come to worship, we can sometimes be confused about why we're here. Are we here to feel better? Are we here because, you know, we should? Are we here because, you know, we want friends and community? All those things are actually part of the reasons why we're here, if we're honest. And they're not necessarily bad things. But also worshiping is a time we come with our longings. It's a time where we come for our longing for God to break into the world. We come to worship with our longing, just like Simeon did, that we might see God's salvation, that we might see God's work in the world around us, in our neighborhood, in Elmhurst, that we might see. We come to worship with our longing for that. And we come trusting in the midst of that longing that he's working. That's why we come here every week. We come here because God is building a people here. That's why we come here. We don't come here because the preaching's great, because, you know, I vary up and down. We don't come here because the music is, you know, star quality. It's great, but, you know, you can go to churches that have better music and you can go to churches that have better preaching. But we come here because God is making a people. God is building you to be a people who know who you are and whose you are. That you have a sense that you are God's people in this place, in this time. That God is using you to build his kingdom here. And that you are a part of that. And you are intricately connected to each other in that task. And so part of our task is learning to live with each other. learning to love with each other, learning to welcome people who come out from the streets and show them hospitality in a way that they feel incredibly loved when they come here because they see us loving each other. And so they feel loved and welcomed within to that relationship as well. That's our call. God is building a people here. And that's why we come here, to worship, to remember who we are and whose we are, so that we can then go out and be God's people in the world. Simeon simply wanted to see. He just wanted to see God's salvation. He had hope that maybe he wouldn't see it, but maybe he would. Maybe God would fulfill that promise. And so when we come here, I hope that you can have the same longing just to see. Just as we cry out, that we call out to God, please help us to see your work in the world. Help us to see your grace in our lives. Help us to see what you're doing here. We can't see it. Show us what you're doing. Help us, empower us, guide us, forgive us, lead us, so that we can follow your way and we can receive, like Simeon received, the fulfillment of your salvation. The hope that Simeon received, I think, is really well encapsulated by a writer named Brendan Manning. He writes this: through our worship on Christmas, there is a sonorous, saving voice speaking to anyone who will listen and will become quiet enough to listen. And the voice is saying, shh, be still. All is well. I am here. Do not be afraid. The world is no longer in the hands of the evil one, but in the arms of the loving shepherd. In the end, everything will be in the arms, will be all right. Nothing can harm you permanently. No suffering is irrevocable. No loss lasting. No defeat is more than transitory. No disappointment is conclusive. Nothing can ever separate us. Not troubles, worries, persecutions, not lack of food or clothes, nor attacks or invasions. There is absolutely nothing in life or death that will ever come between you and the love of God made visible before your eyes on this manger tonight. That's the hope that Simeon held in his arms that day. That's the fulfillment that he experienced in this little 8-week baby boy. And that's the fulfillment and hope we have, knowing Christ throughout his life, both as a baby, growing up into manhood. We've heard his teachings. We've seen his suffering on the cross. We've seen his new life in his resurrection. We've seen him, the fulfillment of his promises in the ascension. And now we have the spirit of him inside of us. We've received it. Now we're called to wait on him for the fulfillment of his work, to be led by his spirit as he's leading us now, and to worship him and come with the longing to see the fulfillment of all things, even right here and right now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that the world is no longer in the hands of the evil one. Though we might experience that in our own bodies, in the sin that we can't get away from, or those bad habits that torment us, or those ways that we treat other people that we can't change, the unforgiveness that festers in us, the ways that we just can't forgive some other people in our life, we won't let them back in. It might be good not to let them back in, but Lord, we know that sometimes the lack of forgiveness festers into resentment and can lead us away from you and from other people. So Lord, we give all those things to you, knowing that the world is no longer in the hands of the evil one. What Simeon experienced in that 8-week-old baby, Lord, we experience in whole, in full. Simeon didn't get to see the full picture of what that 8-week baby would do, but we did. We got to see beyond him, and his vision of holding that 8-week baby boy was enough for him. We see this beautiful picture, Lord, that goes with us through the years, Lord, of waiting and listening and worshiping. Help us, Lord, to also wait for you in our lives. In the ways that there is not fulfillment in our lives personally, help us to wait for you, to live as if it were so. In the ways that we see the fulfillment of your coming not in the world, help us to live as if it were so, to go out with hope where there's no hope, peace where there's no peace, love where there's no love, grace where there's no grace. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be led by you, to trust your Holy Spirit, and to worship you, to just try to long for the hope that you're bringing and have brought in our lives. Thank you, God. In your son's name we pray.